Next on BYUSN, welcome to game day for BYU men's basketball, just 30 minutes from tip-off in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals. We'll discuss all of the pressing storylines in today's matchup against Iowa State and find out which ones actually matter.
ESPN college basketball analyst King McClure and CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd preview the Iowa State game from Kansas City. And Jonathan Tavernari joins Spencer for a second screen experience when the game starts in 30 minutes.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Let's go Cougars!
Thursday, March 13th. Yeah, the fans are showing up. We are live from Studio B in Provo here and obviously live outside T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with a massive BYU basketball fan and insider. He is Jerem Jordan, and he is ready to rock.
We are ready to go, man. It is buzzing right now. A lot of fans streaming in for this one, about 30 minutes away. Again, you can watch the second screen experience right here on BYU TV with Spencer. JT coming in studio. We'll get you ready for the matchup. But we know that BYU is excited about this one. I talked to President Shane Reese, Vice President Keith Vorkink, Brian Santiago, a bunch of fans from all over the country in the gym. We'll give you the latest in a minute. But we know BYU football is also excited about the Cougars' run here in Kansas City.
Basketball team, good luck.
Go get it.
Let's go. Go Cougs.
Richie Saunders for president, baby. Let's go.
Look, boys.
We need a championship.
I mean,
I've been following along all year.
Hey, good luck. If y'all need another point guard, you feel me?
Hey!
You know, let me know. You know, I got you.
Ooh, hey, good luck.
Good luck, Hoops.
Good luck. I give him anybody on the team 30. That's just me, though.
We'll take care of business, baby. March.
We're taking
that's
it
our
all.
Month.
Good luck, baseball team. Good luck, basketball team.
Great stuff. Hey, my favorite is Evan Johnson Schmev saying that he'll go for 30. And Richie Saunders for president.
I got a 30 piece for you.
Yeah, is just golden, given that he's a first-team All-Big 12 conference player. All right, Jerem, let's get to it, my friend. Much to discuss, not a lot of time to do it, so rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
They came into our building and earned a victory.
So just coming out with a good sense of urgency against them tomorrow will help us get it done.
We'll prepare for that game just like we did every other game throughout this year. It really has been our mantra, you know, taking things game by game and day by day.
We are now officially under 30 minutes from tip-off between the 4-seed BYU and number 5-seed Iowa State from the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals in Kansas City. A number of key storylines and headlines that we're going to discuss and determine which ones actually matter and which ones maybe don't. But it begins with the injuries, Jerem, and you have a little bit of breaking news to report right now.
I was in the arena just moments ago. For Iowa State, the big news is Keyshawn Gilbert, second leading scorer, is not going to play today. He has a muscle strain, according to Iowa State. And then Taman Lipsey, the star point guard, who has been a two-time All-Big 12 guy, he is warming up. He is a game-time decision. We will know at tip-off if he is actually going to play in this one. Cannon Catching's out for a third straight game. Spencer, everyone else available for BYU. So certainly the Cougars have an advantage with Gilbert out. They are not fully healthy.
All right, Jerem, you've already said that it's an advantage for BYU. Now it's, I guess, our quest with this first question to figure out how much of an advantage it is for BYU to be facing an Iowa State team that's not going to have Keyshawn Gilbert. So, in your opinion, how much will this factor into BYU's chances of advancing to the semifinals?
It doesn't mean that BYU is automatically going to win because the second leading scorer is out for Iowa State. Gilbert's good too, led the team in assists. Lipsy's interesting, Spence, because he's a guy that is second on the team in assists, second in steals, number one in leadership. He's been a four-year starter, an important piece of a very good run for Iowa State the last couple of years. They feel like this is one of their best teams ever. But last year, Lipsy played through a broken thumb and a sprained shoulder. He is a tough cookie.
No question.
10-a-game guy. I just wonder if it's worth it for him. He said yesterday he tweaked his groin, felt a little weird, wasn't concerned that it would affect him today. How does it not? And what's the advantage of him going crazy hard, trying to win four games in 4 days with Iowa State, and then you're not 100% for the NCAA tournament when it really matters. I think their seeding's pretty secure. I don't know what the point of that is other than he's just a tough cookie that wants to help his team. I understand that. But if I'm Tamen Lipsey and I'm Iowa State, I'm not sure I want him to go today because it doesn't really matter what happens in this game. They're going to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament, a 3 or 4.
Yeah, fair point to think about the big picture for Iowa State and how much that may sway T.J. Otzelberger if Lipsey doesn't look like himself early in the game and he just says, you know what, you can sit it out, rest up, get ready for March Madness and for the bracket that matters more. We'll obviously have our eyes on that very closely. I feel strongly that Iowa State, just like BYU, is a very balanced team, Jerem. So even though Keyshawn Gilbert is not going to play and maybe Tamen Lipsey is not 100%, they still have so many other players, notably Josh Jefferson. And the X factor for me for the Cyclones is Milan Momcilovic. That dude has been a BYU killer.
Shooter.
He is an absolute target from outside. So Momcilovic, among others, there's enough balance on this Iowa State team. They're so good. They have so many weapons that, yeah, it hurts them to not have Gilbert. In my opinion, however, maybe it takes Iowa State's chances of winning this de facto home game for the Cyclones from 55% down to, I don't know, it's a 50-50 game. So I feel like it's now maybe a more even playing field, but I don't think it will factor that much just because I feel like Iowa State's balanced and they have so many good players on their team.
Yesterday in the 20-point win against Cincinnati, it wasn't really about the guard line. It was about the bigs, as you mentioned. Josh Jefferson, tremendous. DeSean Jackson, who Fred Fraschilla of ESPN called Jackson and Jefferson the presidents, which was funny. They combined for 29 points and 23 rebounds. Effective bigs can slow down BYU a touch. We saw that at Utah. We saw that in the first half where they went big with Lovering and Asar. Now BYU goes up against Iowa State team that turned them over 29 times last Tuesday, which, by the way, the officiating crew, there is one ref from that game in this game. It's Brett Smith. So we'll see how many quota fouls he can pile up on the resume today. Hopefully it's not like last week. That was crazy. But I think there is an advantage for BYU with the injury to Gilbert, and let's see with Lipsey. We move on to the next does it matter. Rest versus rust. We talk about it in the NFL playoffs all the time with the wild card teams and the team that rested. BYU with that double bye, Spence. Iowa State played yesterday. They won by 20. Rest versus rust. What's the advantage or disadvantage there for BYU? Does it matter?
It does matter. And in the case of Iowa State now having some guys banged up, yeah, obviously it impacted Iowa State because we don't know if Tamen Lipsey is how much he's going to play, if he's truly going to be himself, and that was tweaked yesterday. So that is an obvious, a tangible factor that we can point to. BYU, can they channel their Texas Tech vibes from last year? Meaning, can BYU be like Texas Tech was against BYU last year when the Red Raiders were fully rested against a Cougar squad that came in and had just beaten UCF and then ran BYU off the floor? Can BYU's fresh legs and energy sustain what's going to be an energetic Iowa State team, you would think, for the first half, but can they wear them down in the second half? I actually like BYU's chances a little bit more based on the rest. And the Cougars aren't exactly 100% either. So at this point in the season, which team is 100% healthy? I think BYU benefits from the extra day of rest. Once again, it's minimal, in my opinion. Few percent more chance to win the game, probably because their legs are a little bit more fresh. I think we'll see that manifested late in the game from 8 minutes to go until that final buzzer sounds. I think that is where BYU will have an advantage with the fresh legs. How do you see it, Jerem?
I don't think Tamen Lipsey can chase Yegor Demon and Dallin Hall around screens with the same fervor that he normally does. He cannot tweak his groin ahead of the NCAA tournament for next week. If he plays, he's going to go 100%, but it just feels risky. I think it's less about the rest that BYU got or perceived rust, and more about this BYU team can win a bunch of different ways. We've seen the greatest halftime adjustments in recent memory. You think about BYU against West Virginia at home. You think about Utah in the second half. You think about Iowa State after BYU got down early and kept turning it over. Even if BYU comes out rusty, I'm confident that they'll figure it out because they have the last eight games. And they're going for a fourth straight win over a ranked team. They're 3-0 in their last three ranked games against opponents. If they win a fourth in a row like this, it'll be the first time since 1951 when BYU toured down in Brazil with Mormons on the tracksuit. It's been a long time, Spence. They're going for history today, but I'm just confident in BYU's ability to adjust in the game, even if BYU's rusty.
Yes, the ranked wins. Look, BYU's way overachieved. They've way overachieved. Why not add another one? Just continue this remarkable storyline. Okay, next topic. How much does it matter that BYU is currently a 3.5-point underdog and, according to Ken Pomeroy, a 4-point underdog against Iowa State in a rematch of last week's double overtime thriller?
I wonder if Hoops takes the football mantra of they don't know, but they're about to find out, like Kalani Sitake said a bunch of times. BYU used that. I remember at UCF, BYU was the better team, and they were like, we're the underdog? Are you serious? I could see why BYU is an underdog in terms of where this game is being played and how close they were last Tuesday, last week in Ames. It's going to be like 80-20 Iowa State probably. BYU fans showing up in numbers, but it's not 3.5 hours away from campus. It's a long ways, right? But BYU fans are going to do well here today. And you can see that the money has slid to 1.5, 2.5, up to as many as 3.5 in some spots. Whatever. It's not a big deal to me. If BYU wants to use it as motivation, fantastic. What do you think?
Listen, as long as BYU doesn't turn it over 29 times, I feel like this game's going to come down to the wire. Okay? Just don't turn it over 29 times. And frankly, BYU
27 would be great.
More than likely, BYU, I believe, will have fewer than 18 turnovers. And even that's a high number. Kevin Young wants 12
That's
or
a
fewer,
high number.
Right? But this is what Iowa State does. Even if Iowa State turns BYU over 18 times, I feel like the Cougars have enough shot makers. And it's not like Iowa State's a 7.5 or even the 10-point favorite. The odds makers and the experts believe this game is essentially going to come down to one possession. And that's fully what I expect. Cannot wait to watch and see if BYU has enough to push their way into the semifinals. Our question of the day is this. We want people to go bold here, Jerem. What's your bold prediction for BYU-Iowa State today in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals? At Dal Smithy on X says, single-digit turnovers. Okay, that is bold given the 29 last game.
It's a little much, I'll be honest.
Only 20 fewer than the first matchup. Travis Tingy on X says, Yegor has 12 assists. Kaba and Foose have a night to remember in the paint, scoring 20-plus combined points. The 20-plus from Kaba and Foose, to me, is not ultra-bold, but Yegor with 12 assists? Hey, BYU can share the ball like that against a team that's as good as Iowa State is defensively? Hey, it's going to be good things for BYU. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. All right, Jerem, take us to the next topic.
I think if you say Kaba Keita to the Iowa State fans, they kind of shake like the hyenas like with Mufasa. Ooh, Keita with that block. All right, here's what the Big 12 bracket looks like as we begin the quarterfinals today. Colorado, by the way, the first team to advance to the quarterfinals of any conference championship after finishing 16th or lower in the regular season since Tennessee in 1931, the Southern Conference Tournament. How about that? Who you got? Any upsets today, or is it chalky?
All right, Jerem, my upset special today, I'll go ahead and start there, is Kansas over Arizona. If you can call that an upset. On the seed line, yes. Kansas is the six. But this is a Kansas team that just beat Arizona. So I'm taking the six over the three if you want to call that an upset. The rest, I think, is chalk. Texas Tech handles Baylor. Houston is a 17.5-point favorite against Colorado. They roll. And I think BYU prevails as the four seed, but Kansas, I think, is the one lower seed in front of their essentially home crowd that will advance. How do you see the bracket playing out today?
That's the only game that could be an upset to me. If Iowa State beats BYU, that's not an upset. That's a very even game, right? Last night I went to Kansas-UCF, which went to OT. Massive Kansas showing, like 99% Jayhawks. They were here. They were out in full force. There will be more people here tonight. I think that's going to be a great game. But, yeah, Kansas definitely has a home court advantage. If we didn't like UNLV in Vegas, you wouldn't like Kansas here, just saying.
Fair point. Rebels. Boo, I hate it. I hate it.
Don't. Okay. No, I have PTSD. Stop.
Men's basketball timeout for the moment as we pick up with BYU women's basketball. Yesterday, Talia Goodman of On3 Sports reporting that BYU guard and sharpshooter Kaylee Woolston has entered the transfer portal. Mind you, she's still serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but got in the portal. Woolston, one of the best shooters in the country, Jerem. What's your reaction to this news?
It doesn't mean she's gone. I think if Lee Kamard is going to be retained as the coach, that she would probably stay. That's a sense that I have, that maybe you have, that we've talked about. We don't know for sure, but we'll see. It would be a bummer to lose Whiting and Woolston, and you want to keep Gibb. Like, there have been some really good recruits for BYU the last couple of years. The hope is she stays, but we'll see.
I think this is a wait-and-see move just to protect herself, depending on what BYU decides to do with the new head coach, and there's a new athletic director coming, like all these variables for BYU. I think this is a safe move on her part, kind of like we saw with Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders last year with men's basketball, where you hop in the portal and then you kind of wait and see, and turned out that both those guys came back and they're flourishing under Kevin Young. Took a minute, but they're flourishing. So for me, it's just kind of the same move, and I think it's a smart move on her part. I'm with you, though. I think that she enjoyed playing under Lee Kamard's offense if he's the head coach. Hopefully Kaylee is back. Kay, I told you this is going to be fast-paced, and we had a lot to do. We got to get Jerem inside in just a few minutes, but not before we remind you that 4-seed BYU and Iowa State playing the Big 12 tournament in exactly 16 minutes and 51 seconds. That's when they tip. The game coverage begins 12:30 Eastern on ESPN2 and the BYU radio app. After the break, ESPN college basketball analyst King McClure and CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd go one-on-one with Jerem to preview this BYU-Iowa State matchup in Kansas City. This is BYUSN.
3 straight days of 4 games. It's Hoops Heaven.
But it's been a lot of good teams, a lot of good basketball. We've seen a lot of the lower seeds upset the higher seeds. But it's only going to get better from here. And that's what I'm most looking forward to.
Thursday quarterfinals at the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome back to Studio B. And live from Kansas City is Jerem Jordan, who has been very busy tracking down some notable people to talk to. Jerem, who do you have for us this morning?
ESPN's King McClure was a very good player at Baylor. He's one of the youngest analysts ESPN's hired in recent memory. And I spoke with him yesterday after Iowa State beat Cincinnati. He had a lot of great things to say about BYU. Here's that conversation.
King, I don't see too many dudes with a Big 12 jacket. Where'd you get this?
The Big 12 actually gave it to me. It's actually kind of fun. Look at the back.
Oh, it's like a magic eye?
It's actually kind of fire. I really like it. They gave it to me last year when I was here. But it's been really cool. I like it. Hopefully I get another one this year.
Right? Big 12 tournament's been awesome. Obviously, BYU's second year in the league. Yeah. Now you're on the ESPN studio coverage. How's that been for you?
It's been really good. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. It's an extra day this year. But it's been a lot of good teams, a lot of good basketball. We've seen a lot of the lower seeds upset the higher seeds. But it's only going to get better from here, and that's what I'm most looking forward to.
We're excited about the rematch of BYU and Iowa State. That was a game that took forever because there were a million fouls, a million turnovers. What are you expecting in round 2?
Oh, my goodness. That was probably – I was talking to somebody about this the other day. That's probably one of the craziest games I've seen all year between that one and then the Houston and Texas Tech game. One of the craziest games I've seen, right? For the amount of swings that took place in that game, the amount of turnovers that BYU had and still pulled out a win in Ames, super high level. It'll be interesting tomorrow because – I don't know if they're going to have Lipsy at 100%. I don't know if they're going to have Gilbert at 100%. However, if they don't have those guys, I don't think they have a chance of beating BYU. But if they do have those guys, I'm expecting to be a close game. I mean, you know that when you play in this building against Iowa State, it's basically Hilton South. It's like their home arena. If you watched the game earlier, same thing. It was a bunch of Iowa State fans, rowdy, loud. I'm sure there'll be a lot of BYU fans here too tomorrow. However, it'll be a really good game. I mean, Richie Saunders has to have a big night. I need a lot less turnovers. Right? Take care of the basketball. But I think it'll be a good game overall.
It's interesting because that game had so many fouls called, so many turnovers. Do you expect it to be similar or maybe a smoother game?
I think it'll be a smoother game. I don't think it'll be a repeat of what we saw the first time.
Thank gosh.
But if it does happen to go in double overtime, I am here for it, right? Because I love good basketball, and you guys are playing phenomenal. BYU is probably one of the hottest teams in the country, one of my favorite teams to watch, just the way they play the game of basketball. I love Kevin Young and what he does on the offensive side. And Iowa State's really good, too. It's almost like a contrast of styles, in a sense.
You've seen the growth from BYU, and you mentioned the streak, and the streak is unbelievable in the 5 quad 1 wins, 3 ranked wins at Arizona, at Iowa State. What's changed for BYU to be so good?
You know, I think it really happened when Kevin Young inserted Mag into the lineup. I think two things. Inserting Mag into the lineup, me and Fran for sure talked about it on our show, King and the Coach, Tune In, on Tune In Radio. It's produced by the Big 12 and Modelo. However, I think that when Mag got inserted into that starting lineup and really bought into his role, being that, you know, 3-and-D type of guy, taking on the opposing team's best player, being able to shoot it from the corner consistently, and Dallin Hall, too, takes pressure off of Yegor's playmaking ability, because he can come in, he can step in, be that point guard, he can make the right decisions, right? And then Yegor doesn't have as much pressure. He's a freshman. Now, granted, he's a lottery pick. He's elite. But he's still young. He's still 18. They're still growing pains. And Dallin Hall takes a little bit of that pressure off. So I think Dallin Hall and Mag have completely changed the whole trajectory of this BYU team.
Richie Saunders goes from kind of glue guy and good bench guy last year to first team all league, most improved. What did he do this year that impressed you the most?
I think that, coming from a basketball standpoint, right? I think that when you look at a guy who was a glue guy, one of the hardest things is to move up in the scouting report and actually be able to produce. Because last year, he was a guy who nobody really counted on. You come off the bench, he might have a good game. He might drop 10. 10 points is a good game for him. But for him to be able to embrace that role of, hey, I'm a glue guy, to now I'm the leading scorer and you got a game plan for me and stop me, not a lot of guys can make that adjustment. So for me, that's the most impressive thing, to be able to make the adjustment, not only make it, but make it so well like he did. So I think that that's the biggest thing for me, is how well he made the adjustment. But I love the way he plays. I keep saying this, and mark my words, he is going to play in the NBA. Yeah. We're going to look up in about 3, 4, 5 years, see him on an NBA team, and be like, hey, that's the kid from BYU, Richie Saunders, because it's almost that Christian Brown, AJ Green effect, right? Guys who just stick in the league because they have size, they can shoot it, they're tough, they play with a chip on their shoulder, and they buy into a defensive side of things, right? So I think that Richie Saunders will play in the NBA. Mark my words, King McClure said it first.
I like that, because Kevin Young actually told him that early in the season, and yeah. Richie said, he's raised my sights on what I can be. Now BYU's hoping to make a run in the NCAA tournament next week, too. There's conversation about kind of 5-6 seed. How do you feel about BYU as a dangerous team in the NCAA tournament?
I think they're dangerous because of the way they shoot the basketball and how they score. They like to play fast. They like to push in transition and get threes in transition before you can set your defense. Teams like that scare me, right? I think it's two things about BYU that scares me. Number one, the way that they shoot threes, they're never out of a ball game. Because if you're down 13, you're down 5th, they're down 15, now all of a sudden they hit 3 threes, their fans get into it, it's a completely different game. The second thing is their length. They don't really put anybody out there under 6'4". Dallin Hall is probably the shortest guy they put out there that's 6'4". Everybody else 6'6 and above. When you have length, that means defensively you don't have to be perfect, but you're long enough to be able to change the trajectory or change the game defensively, make an impact, right? Because of your length and your size and the way that they shoot it. I think when you combine those two things, that's a team you don't want to see in the tournament.
We look forward to the rest of the tourney, your coverage, and having you in Provo next year. Thanks, King.
Nah, I appreciate you guys. You guys have been great, man.
King McClure, just talked to him, by the way. He just walked by me, which is kind of fun. And then I also talked to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, who literally moments ago announced that he's retiring from CBS Sports on April 10th. He didn't tell me about it yesterday, but congratulations to Dennis. A tremendous career. He's been great. We've enjoyed our conversations over the years with him. Here's my conversation with yesterday, Dennis Dodd, prior to announcing his retirement.
All right, Dennis, give us a sense of the vibe, the energy here at the Big 12 tournament.
I told Brent Yormark when I saw him this morning that I thought Tuesday was the best opening day they've ever had. And I've done all of them since it started in 97. A lot of that had to do with four more teams and playing four more games. But I thought the crowd was pretty nice. Kansas State, obviously participating, helped that. But the excitement, not all the games were good, but I thought they were all compelling. And three straight days of four games, it's hoops heaven.
When you've won 5 of the last 10, like Iowa State has, they travel and they're here. Rematch with BYU. That was a crazy game last week. What's your sense of what could be between the Cyclones and Cougars round 2?
I think there's a lot to play for. I talked to Tom Holmo today, and I asked him, when was the last time you remembered basketball and football together kind of ascending? You know, BYU top 4 seed. They're going to get into the tournament. Football, we know from the Big 12, anybody can win it, and they've got a good team coming back. So I think this is down and dirty. I mean, I think it's back and forth, obviously, but I think it's really going to be competitive. These teams have a lot to play for. It's beyond seeds. It's personal now that you have new rivalries in the league. I love Iowa State. I think they've kind of slumped at the end, but BYU's on a heater.
Gilbert didn't play in the second half. Lipsy kind of limped off. Yeah. Those could be big storylines too.
Yeah, Lipsy makes him go. I think before he left, he had 15-3. I don't know what he had to end the game, but if he's not playing or not 100%, they're going to be in trouble.
What have you made of what BYU's done in men's hoops this year with Kevin Young in his first season?
I think the big number one story is who they have coming in. I mean, besides the season, which is great, but A.J. DeBanza is going to be a game changer for BYU, for this league. It's something that BYU has never gotten into, the one and done. And they, you know, cultivated him even before, I think, Kevin was here because he was nearby on the AAU team, Utah team. And he loves the campus. He loves the culture. I don't think you're going to ask for anything better. BYU is going to be a national concern next year. He's supposed to be a one and done, but as Tom Holmo reminded me, he thinks that sets the table for BYU bringing in players like him.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
For the Cougars in the NCAA tournament, some conversation about kind of a 5-6 right now. Do you think they could get higher than that if they make a run in this tournament?
Sure, if they win the thing or get to the championship game. You know, I think the Big 12 tournament champion deserves a 3 or 4. Houston, obviously, is probably going to be a 1 no matter what they do. But I think BYU can get as high as a 3 if they win this thing, given the competition that they face throughout the season they've had.
Would you take Houston or the field winning this thing?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know what? I would take the field because I was thinking about this the other day. You got to talk about Duke. You got to talk about Florida. They're very good. They've separated themselves, those schools. The SEC is great this year. But I've done this too long to remember in the tournament games at 11 o'clock in far-flung cities with nobody there. Games at 11 p.m. that start late. You know, again, nobody's there. The atmosphere's not there, and strange things happen. I can definitely see some of these top teams getting beat before they get to San Antonio.
And favorite restaurant recommendation for the Cougar fans at the tournament?
Oh, God, there's several of them. Any of the barbecue places. I'm a Gates guy. Gates has been here since the Rocks cooled, and there's like 4 of them in the area. If you like Italian, go to Garozzo's. It's in the Northeast District. You can't go wrong while you're downtown.
It's lunchtime when we're recording this, so I think we're going to have to leave right now and go. Dennis, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Great stuff with Dennis Dodds, and happy retirement to the legend at CBS Sports. BYU baseball hosts UCF near Big 12 opener. Tonight's game, game 1 of the 3-game set. You can watch on ESPN+ or listen on BYU Radio beginning at 4 Eastern. What's your bold prediction for the Cougars and Cyclones today? More responses to our question of the day. We're just moments away from tip-off and our multicast. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What's your bold prediction for BYU and Iowa State today? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from @tallguy_hackit on X, who says BYU by 10-plus points, and Richie Saunders and Kaba Keita both have a triple-double. Okay, just give me one of those, right?
If
one of those guys has a triple-double or BYU wins by 10-plus, I like BYU's chances in either regard, obviously, right?
Right.
Okay, Jerem, we got to get you inside. And because you're on location, we should note that you already mentioned Taman Lipsy is a kind of a game time decision. We're not sure how much he's going to play. What have you learned as far as we push in that subject?
He's not in the starting lineup. So I don't know if that means he's not playing or not, but he is not in the starting lineup, which is a big deal. And in case you missed it, Keyshawn Gilbert, the second leading scorer for Iowa State, he is out with a muscle strain. So we'll see what that means for Iowa State. BYU certainly needs to take advantage here.
Okay, Lipsy not in the starting lineup for the first time in his career, by the way, but he is active. We'll see how much he actually plays. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who gets it today, Jerem?
BYU diver Alexia Jackson Hansen qualified for nationals on platform. Congratulations. 3-meter dive earlier this week as well. She's going to nationals, baby.
Congratulations. All right, Jerem, go watch basketball. Let's get it. Quarterfinal Thursday. Great work in Kansas City.
Tell JT hi for me. Follow.
I'm doing it right now. Jonathan Tavernari just across the way. He's hanging out in the Cougar Council Room after the break. He will join me as we discuss all of the important big picture items surrounding BYU and what it means if they win or lose today. Don't go anywhere. The multicast is after the break.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I feel like this is a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. I think this team is a second weekend team.
We've just stacked good days on top of each other. You just go at it every day and you learn every day and you try to get better. You know, this group bought into that, and I think you're seeing the results out on the court.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jonathan Tavernari, who's here with me for this multicast platform edition of the show. I am Spencer Linton. BYU and Iowa State just tipped, and listen, we're going to discuss some big picture items here, beginning with this, JT. Iowa State's got some injuries, my friend. Keyshawn Gilbert is out. Taman Lipsey was not in the starting lineup for the first time in his career. How big of a deal is this in today's game and BYU's chances to win said game?
So, obviously, he is their driver, all right? We heard from King earlier in an interview with Jerem, and he is their driver. But this is not an Iowa State that team that lives and dies with him, right? They have multiple pieces. Now, it is a job less difficult with him in it. But on a team this good, one of the things that I always remember is, you know, when Jimmer got hurt, well, when Jimmer had mono my senior year, other guys stepped up. And it's the same thing with this Iowa team state because they're good and they're not a one-man show. And so somebody will step up. They have multiple weapons. And, you know, that's what we're seeing right now at the beginning of this game, them being competitive, them fighting back. BYU off to a good start, but, you know, Iowa State is – they're fighting. And they're also in rhythm because they've already played a game.
Yeah, there is something to that, the rest versus rust conversation. So let's go right there, JT. How much of an advantage is it that Iowa State's already played a game on this floor and BYU's had an extra day of rest in contrast?
Well, Mag certainly doesn't look like, you know, that's a problem for him. Back-to-back threes for Mawat Mag right now. But just that's always something because the hardest game to win at a tournament format, at an elimination, you know, kind of setting, it's the first game. Mm. It's always the first game. I never forget my very first conference tournament, Dave Rose saying, guys, the toughest game to win is the first one. And that's true because you're always trying to understand the rhythm, the feel for the game. Iowa State has already broken that ice yesterday with a win, with a solid win. Obviously, they had some, you know, some situations with key players not being there anymore because of injury. And so, but it there's a good and bad with a team as experienced as BYU, especially, you know, an extra day of rest to Foose, to Keba, to Richie, to Dallin. You know, I think it's a fantastic thing. And so far, they're playing like that's not a problem.
Just about 4 minutes in, BYU does have an 11-7 lead. You mentioned Mawit Mag. King McClure, analyst for the Big 12 and on ESPN, said he feels like that in many ways that was a turning point for BYU when Mag became more of a prominent feature and was inserted into the starting lineup. How do you see that?
I'm not going to say that only changing Mag to the starting lineup. I think also the presence of Trevin had an impact. The reason why I say that is because he opens up the floor. Regardless if he's making shots or not, you have to respect him. You can't just leave him wide open, which consequently gives more space for Jaeger to create, more space for Richie to attack. We were just saying before we came on live, Richie's attacking is elite. Mm. It is as good as it gets in the country right now. And so
his off-platform shot making.
Right. And I think, and I remember, I don't know if I remember the number correct, but Jerem always made a point in the pre and post game show to say 10-3 since the lineup change was made. But Mag has become a very reliable catch and shoot guy, and guys will just leave them, you know, teams will leave them wide open, and you're just not seeing that anymore, you know. And his efficiency to not only do that, but to truly function as a 3-and-D guy right now for this BYU team is phenomenal. You know, as we go to the first TV timeout, BYU up in level 8, you know, 11-8, and Mag has 6 of those points.
He reminds me, and I know you'll appreciate this because you're an NBA guy, and you can appreciate what this player meant to this team and their championship runs. He's BYU's Bruce Bowen. He's the defensive specialist, and he makes a ton of threes in the corner. That was Bruce Bowen's game.
It's interesting that you said that. Very much a way of doing that. And Bruce Bowen was very reliable.
For the San Antonio Spurs at the peak of their powers.
At the peak of their powers with their team. So much so that he was actually at the 2007 and 2008, the Tournament of Americas, the Olympic team, the Redeem team, actually had a chance to play against them at the Tournament of Americas in 2007 in Vegas. And so... But very much remember that he also reminds me a little bit of Danny Green, a little bit. And even so, Royce O'Neal for, some Utah Jazz fans there. Now, obviously, Bruce Bowen is the epitome of the 3-and-D, right? But, it definitely have a chance, Mag, to continue his career. I look at Spencer Johnson. Mm. Spencer Johnson is having his career in London right now, in Europe. And to me, all of these guys, Trevin, Mag, they have a chance, definitely Foos. They have a chance to continue playing professionally if they choose to do so, right? And again, but then let's go to another level with, Yegor and Richie most likely having a chance to also go play professionally. And Cannon, we don't know what's going to happen because of his injury and everything that's happening. And so, but this is a BYU team that's going to have a lot of NBA players in it.
Grateful to have you with us on this multicast version of BYU Sports Nation as we watch BYU and Iowa State and discuss some of those big picture items for the Cougars moving forward. BYU is a 3.5-point underdog. You mentioned Cannon Catchings is out for a third straight game. If he's not available for the NCAA tournament, how much do you believe that will impact this BYU team?
So definitely a big loss, right? We saw how big of an impact he can be to this BYU team when he's at full strength. I mean, first player ever this century to have a perfect game, 23 points against Baylor, just history being made.
And he was huge on the road Arizona.
At Arizona, he stepped up and went right at it. And so it's a disappointing thing with this injury because he was such on an upward trajectory, right? On the flip side, as a fan, now as just an analyst, but as a fan, I hope that he does come back. Because at that point, can you imagine Dallin on the top with Richie on one side if he comes back and Cannon on the other with Keba in the middle.
And A.J. DiBonsa.
And A.J. And Xavion come. I mean, my goodness gracious. And so it's a team that Kevin has put the pieces in place. And thinking about maybe 13 months ago, maybe in April, we're all going, what the heck is going to happen? Always lost, always lost. But, the turnaround that BYU has had with Kevin Young and the way that something that I don't think it gets talked about enough, Spencer, is Kevin nailing down the substitution pattern. Because at the beginning of the year, with Dallin is out, Dallin is back, Yeager's out, now they play together. How do you make that work? The adjustment that they made for league play was phenomenal. But not only that, when to bring in Trey, when to bring in Mihailo, when to sub in Dawson. And all of these things, to me, have played a massive part on the success of this BYU team so far.
In terms of how the game played out in the double overtime thriller in Ames, where BYU had a 21-point lead, it went away. They trailed.
25 turnovers.
29 turnovers. Okay. They figured it out. So I'm guessing you don't expect 29 turnovers from BYU today, but how else do you expect maybe things to go differently here in Kansas City?
Well, so beating a team, a quality team. I'm not just talking about kind of lower of the league, right? Although BYU did lose to GCU.
It's the number 12 team in the country.
Sure, but beating a quality team like Iowa State is, one time is difficult. Two times is gosh darn near impossible. And so to do that, BYU has to be sharp. King made a great point. I mean, how do you win a game on the road of that magnitude with turning the ball over so much?
29 times.
It is insane. And as we see, Yegor knocked down a huge three right here. And so, obviously, as you look at this game, it does help that Lipsy is not at full strength. They also have Kishon is out. And so it helps BYU's cause. But this BYU team, if they play anywhere near what we've seen during this winning streak, it's going to be a fun next 3 weeks for the Cougars.
BYU with a 14-10 lead just about 5 minutes in. Who's your Y factor today in this specific matchup against Iowa State?
So after seeing the last game, right, and taking another crack at it and look, to me, who will make a difference, I think it will be the playmaking of Yegor. Mm. Ed Ames, Dallin Hall took a little bit more of the lead in terms of, you know, kind of leading the orchestra. And to me, the key is going to be Yegor. Now, not necessarily Yegor to score, which we always talked about and say, we need Yegor to score. Well, do we really, or do we just need him to be effective? And so, to me, Yegor is the X factor because he can attack. He can shoot, he can create for others. When Yegor is going full speed, meaning that BYU didn't get scored on, they grab the rebound out of an Iowa State miss and they run, Yegor is as good as he gets on any level today, which is why he's a lottery pick. And so if BYU can do that with the different matchups and defenses that they're throwing at it, and Yegor can be that consistent, I think to me he's going to be the X factor today.
Of note, Jonathan Givony of ESPN, their NBA draft expert, in his updated big board today, has Yegor Demian going number 9 to the Portland Trail Blazers. How about it? All right, we're going to take a break of our own. BYU leading by 8, 20-12. We'll come back with some big picture items, meaning what does a win today for BYU mean in their potential seeding line in March Madness? What would a loss mean? Would the opportunity to play Houston just get to the opportunity be enough to elevate BYU? JT answers all those questions after this. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. This is a multicast edition as we watch BYU and Iowa State and discuss now big picture items with one of the best shooters in BYU basketball history, Jonathan Tavernari. The Cougars leading 22-15 right now with 12:33 to play in the first half. Okay, let's say BYU holds on and wins this game today, JT. And you said beating a team like Iowa State twice in that short of a span is almost impossible. But if they do it, how does that impact BYU in the March Madness bracket?
That's always an interesting conversation because how much weight do you give to conference tournaments, right? Now, if a team like Colorado would come and make a run, I think that's certainly a one status to it, right? As BYU makes some extra passes and Dawson hits a big-time three on the corner to put BYU up by 10. So let's say this. To me today, always, you know, bumping them down a seed because of Sunday play. I would say that BYU right now is at a 6-7 range, right? If they get to the semifinal, I think they probably go more fixed at that 6 spot. Like, so they win today and they get to play Houston tomorrow at the semifinal. They probably are leaning towards a 6 seed. Now, I am very curious to see how these boys at this moment in time in the season, peaking at the right time, play against Houston. Let's be realistic here. You know, this is a BYU building, a BYU TV production. We all wear blue goggles. But they got smacked the last time they played Houston.
They got absolutely boat raced and run out of the building, and they know it.
It was a smack. And so, but I am eager to see how this team today translates to playing Houston. And if that does happen and the result that we are seeing right now sticks, it will be interesting because if they go and play Houston and win, how do you not make them at least a 4 seed, you know, and get to the championship game? And obviously at the championship game, anything can happen. But I think that's the trajectory that BYU is reminding. And obviously you have way more experience than I do because you've been covering for longer. I did experience this in 4 straight NCAA tournaments. But you always have to consider a bump down, sometimes even 2.
Yes.
Because of Sunday play.
Yes. I will add this. There is a strange scenario developing. And there have been some of you who have been wondering, okay, Joe Lunardi has BYU number 23 overall in his 1-68 seed list.
Sure.
Now, at number 23, BYU would be a 6 seed. They would be the second to last 6 seed of that quadrant. But he has BYU as a 5 seed playing Liberty in Providence. And some of you are asking, well, if BYU is a 6 seed in his overall ranking, how are they a 5 seed when you get to the bracket? It's because the Big Ten has so many teams available right around the 4-6 seed, even 7 seed line, that they have to avoid matchups based on bracketing principles. And in that instance, BYU is actually being helped.
So for the first time in the history of sports at Brigham Young University, we're going to be favored for following the Lord's commandments and not playing on Sunday. So if that's not, if that, you know, And, you know, God meets us where we are, and lo and behold, we are ready. So please meet us where we need to be right now.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting twist.
When was the last time you can safely look at me and say, JT, elevated, remember back in who knows when BYU got, you know, bumped up a seat? Has that ever happened? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember an occasion where BYU was given the benefit of the doubt and bumped up a seat line, but here we are. Because the conferences are bigger. This is where a super conference can kind of make things really hard for the tournament selection committee and all those bracketing dynamics is if you have so many teams from the same conference in, they don't want the same matchups. They don't want those teams to even match up in the second round. So again, BYU, according to Joe Lunardi, that's why they are being bumped up from a 6 to a 5. The no Sunday play, we'll see where the Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday regions are they when the number one seeds shake out, but there is a chance that BYU does benefit from the Big Ten having too many teams available in BYU's seeding region.
I think to that end, right, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And so hopefully this is one of those instances. But it has been interesting. I don't remember if it was a BYU fan on X or it was Greg Rebell. Someone said in the last 4 years, the pecking order of the three best conferences in the country. And it has always been Big 12, Big 10, SEC. Has been in that order. And so to BYU be in the position that they are right now, having the year that they've had, you know, it's difficult for you to say, you know, the Big 12 is not the best conference in the country this year, but they're right up there. I mean, they are literally always fighting for one of the top spots because the teams are so good. Look at Baylor. Baylor has always consistently been a team that you're like, oh, Sweet 16, oh, Elite Eight. And this year, Baylor is like, where are they going to go? Where are the chips are going to fall? And so I think that shows what the landscape of basketball is, you know, always moving and in constant adjustment, I think because of NIL. I think the NIL is, you know, the true equalizer of all of this. You know, few people after BYU beat Kansas, people were saying, I want to go back to the days when only Kansas paid players. And that those sorts of jokes, right?
Jayhawk Lasso, yes. He's a great follow.
Yeah, and so all of those different things. But I think you see these movements, it's all because of NIL. I mean, look at BYU football, right? BYU football, the first year of the Big 12, kind of like, what the heck is happening here? And then come back, you know, this past season has a phenomenal year. And so, you know, NIL is a good thing if it's used the right way, and we're seeing the balancing on that right now.
All right, let's say BYU can't hold a lead today and they lose, JT. Do you feel like it will negatively impact their seed line, or do you feel like BYU should feel good about staying on that 6 seed line?
That's my personal opinion. I don't think anything BYU can do from now on will impact them.
Hurt them.
Exactly. Impact them in a negative way.
Okay.
Thank you. Obviously, I think if they win, they will help their cause. But if they lose, it's not going to impact them negatively.
Is just getting to have the opportunity to play Houston again, because Houston is so good in the metrics, is that enough to elevate BYU's resume even a little bit more?
In my perspective, my personal opinion, it depends on how they play. Now, the committee has gone on record and saying, well, we consider analytics, but the eye test is important. And so, well, if that's really true, then how BYU plays if they get to play Houston is important. And it depends to see how they perform, how the game is, are they on the front, are they leading at a point, is it a battle? Because again, if they play Houston and they lose by 20, again, I don't think that negative impacts BYU, but it's more of a, well, okay, BYU lost and they lost by 20, you know, maybe we're just not going to move them a ton up and down. But that's my perspective as Iowa State goes in a 6-0 run right here.
Sure, BYU now up by 4. As we hit under 10 minutes to play in the first half and start to wrap up our multicast edition of BYU Sports Nation. Final question, 30 seconds, JT. What matters most to you? Seeding, being rewarded for where you feel like you deserve to be, the matchup you get in the NCAA tournament, or location? Because obviously BYU is slated in Providence, according to Joe Lunardi right now, not great, all the way across the country, when they could be in a place like Denver or even Wichita. So which matters the most to you, seed, matchup, location?
Location to me. I'll say this, you know, my 4 years playing the NCAA tournament, we played at Kentucky, then we played at Anaheim. Then we played, I don't remember where we went.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was my senior year.
Okay.
And then, no, Philadelphia and then Oklahoma City.
Yes.
And so I would say location, definitely, because having the fans in the stands, that will boost BYU team. At the end of the day, Spencer, when you are dealing at the NCAA tournament, anything can happen, which is why it's a magical time of the year, and they call it March Madness.
It's Christmas for me. It really is. JT, great stuff. Thanks for hanging out with us, my
friend. Appreciate it, yeah.
Our thanks to today's guests, King McClure, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, happy retirement, and, of course, Jonathan Tavernari. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand at BYUSN.com. And a final shout out to our guy, Jeff Chapman. BYU and Iowa State, go Cougs! Just get that opportunity to play Houston. We'll see you tomorrow.